I want to share with you this morning from Genesis in chapter 28. We can identify with Jacob and the life that we are called to live on this earth. In a lot of aspects we could as we look at his life, we could see that this is our journey on this earth. And we want to see what is the life that God has called us to live. Jacob had two encounters with God. It's interesting to see just what God seeks to do in our lives through these two encounters that he had. I want you to look at Genesis in chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. It says there, from verse 10, Jacob departed from Beersheba and went toward Haran. You know the story that he had got the birthright, stolen the birthright from his brother Esau. And he had to run away. His mother told his father it's better to send him away. And so he departed and went from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place, verse 11, and spent the night there because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones in the place of the place and put it under his head and lay down in that place. He had a dream. And behold, a ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your descendants. Your descendants will also be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And in you and in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you, will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. That's what God said to him. I'll not leave you until I've done what I've promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, oh, how awesome is this place. This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So first time we read that word, awesome. And I want you to see that it's in relation to the household of, to the house of God, which is the church. How awesome, he says, is this place. And I did not know it. This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And we can learn from that. We see today there's such a lack of reverence and awe for the church, the true church of God. We become so familiar that most gatherings of God's people is just no better than a club. We have lost that awe that should be there when we come to the true church of God. Not this building. I mean, I hope you understand, it's in the new covenant, it's God's people. That's the church of God. And we have lost that reverence. And this speaks a lot to me that that's the first thing that Jacob had, an awe. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. That's the church. The house of God, the gate of heaven. Okay, we can lose that reverence and awe. I'm afraid that it's lost in our generation. There's something that we can learn from that. Going on, that's not what I was going to speak on. But in verse 18 it says, so Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on its top, the symbol of the Holy Spirit, and he called the name of that place Bethel. However, previously the name of the city had been Luz. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me on this journey that I take and will give me food to eat and garments to wear, and I return to my father's house in safety, then the Lord will be my God. This stone which I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give a tenth to you. We can transcribe that into a prayer that many pray today, if they don't say it in that many words. It says, you will be with me and bless me and my family, and keep my family from all harm and evil. Give me a good job and give my children good jobs and good life partners when it's time for them to marry. A good home, give me a good home to live in, that I may live a good life, that I never fall away from the church, and take me safely to heaven. And I'll serve you all my days, and I'll be careful to give you my offerings and tithes. Does that sound familiar? I'm afraid that's how it is with most of God's people. That's all that we expect of the church. Just like Jacob prayed, if you do all this for me, you'll be my God, I'll serve you, and I'll give you a tenth, I'll give you my tithe. It's very sad that the church has degenerated to that. For most of God's people, they just want their names on a membership list or on the commitment list. So, and they want to break bread so that they are accepted. And finally have someone to bury them. That's what they're more concerned. That somebody will be there to bury them. Or somebody will be there to marry their children. And so most of God's people receive all the benefits of being in the church, being blessed through the messages that one hears, receives answers to prayers, whether it be a job or marriage or or physical healing. And they're satisfied. But is this all that God has called us to, my brothers and sisters? It's true, God said that I'll not leave you until I've done what I promised you. Has he just promised all that? In fact, Jesus said, we don't even need to bother about these things that the Gentiles seek after. We seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he throws these things after us. We don't need to seek after them. We don't need to make a covenant with God. If you do all this for me, then I will serve you and I'll give you my offerings and I'll give you my tithe and I will do anything for your church. That's a very low level of life. This is Jacob's first encounter with God, and that's perhaps how some of us begin. That's all we think about. And it says that he saw a ladder set on earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And he said, this is the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And Jesus said to Nathanael, I want you to look at that word in John chapter 1, in verses 50 to 51, where Jesus said to Nathanael, after Philip had called him, and when he saw Nathanael, he said, an Israelite, and truly in whom there is no guile, no deceit. And Jesus said to him, before Philip called you, I saw you sitting under the fig tree. And Nathanael was amazed, and he said, Jesus said to him, because I said to you that I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? Because he said, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. And Jesus said to him, you'll see greater things than these. And he said to him, truly, truly I say to you, you will see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Not a ladder, but you'll see the angel, you'll see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. And those are the greater things that Jesus said to Nathanael, we'll see. And it says in the Living Bible, it says in paraphrase of that verse, John 1:51.
Excuse me.
I tell you the truth. You will all see heaven open and the angels of God going up and down on the Son of Man. The one who is the stairway between heaven and earth. I like that. The one who is the stairway between heaven and earth. Jesus is the only mediator between God and man. Under the old covenant, Jacob saw a ladder reaching to heaven and God on the top of it. Under the new covenant, we can live under an open heaven. That's the household of God. That's the church of God. That you and I can live under an open heaven. That we can see the angels descending and ascending and descending upon the church. That's how it was when Jesus lived on the earth. That's what he said to Nathaniel, "You'll see greater things than this." And today, Jesus is not here physically, but the body of Christ. I trust we have found our place in the household of God. I trust that we see that this is the gate of heaven. Not just that I finally get there one day, but we see that God has far more to give to us. He's got far more in mind than just blessing us with all that we need on this earth. We can live under an open heaven in our daily life, in our daily walk with God. And these are the greater things that I can know God. And that's what I want you to see that when we see Jacob's life. I want you to look at first Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 to 25. It says there, the Holy Spirit says to the writer, "You have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than the blood of Abel." Then it says these solemn words, "See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less shall we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven." And goes on to say that God is going to shake everything. He's going to shake the heaven and earth. "Once more I will shake the heaven and earth," so that things which can be shaken will be shaken. So that which is of man, that which is created, will be shaken. And only that which cannot be shaken, which is of God, will stand. And it says there further in verse 28, "Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service." And hear these words, "with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire." That's how it must be. You know, the Holy Spirit says, it's not that you think you came in the old covenant, they came to a mountain that blazed with fire and to a voice that said that even if a beast touches the mountain, it will be killed. He said, "You come to Mount Zion." But as I was saying earlier, people have become familiar. They don't have that awe. They don't have the reverence for the church of God. That's how it is today in this century that we live in. And the Holy Spirit says, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude. That's one thing that, you know, that comes from a life of reverence and awe. I will be grateful. I would be grateful for the brothers and sisters. I'll be grateful for what I receive in the church. Not the material blessings. All of us sitting here have received something from God many, many times. And those of us who are part of this church, God has so blessed us. We are prospered. We don't preach a prosperity gospel. But I know how some families began, and I know where they are today. God has blessed you. God has blessed us. He's blessed our children. But do we take it for granted? Do we lose that sense of gratitude? We become familiar. And we can backbite and gossip and give pass our opinions. It says there that, that by showing gratitude we offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. And it doesn't stop there. That's an unfortunate chapter division. It says there in the next chapter, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1, it says, let love of the brethren continue. And it speaks about showing hospitality, speaks about attitude to prisoners, it speaks about marriage, the marriage bed being undefiled. And then it says these words, make sure, Hebrews in chapter 13, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that, you notice there, it doesn't stop. You know, we have that in our homes, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And God said to Jacob, I will not leave you till I accomplish what I have in mind for you, what I have promised you. And we can just have that verse on our walls. So have that verse before, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And we've heard it, I'll never, never, never leave you nor forsake you. But read it in its context. It's so that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid what will man do to me. That is a place that God wants to bring us, where Jesus said, I'll not leave you nor forsake you, so that he can bring us to that place like Jacob, like we would see now, where we see the Lord is my helper. We confidently say, God is my helper, I will not be afraid of what man can do to me, or what circumstances or situations. That is the life that God has called you and me to live on this earth, my brothers and sisters. That we will not have any fear. If you fear God, we have it there at the back, you need fear nothing else. That we can confidently say, God is my helper, I'm not afraid. And we need that in the coming days. And, excuse me, that we stop just thinking like Jacob, praying for things for this life only, material blessings. And sadly, many are just satisfied with that. And God has answered prayer miraculously sometimes, given you a job, healed you, perhaps miraculously. But that's all. Many people stop there, and I'm afraid many among us stop there. They don't want to become like Jesus. They don't want to live a godly life. They don't ask for that. Lord, that I can behave like you, I can react in the different situations like you reacted, and take some of the reaction, our reactions which are so unchristlike, so seriously. Just like when we are so serious in seeking God, if our child is down with a fever or we have some sickness, that when we see some reaction in our personal lives, in our daily walk with God, that we would say, Lord, this is not like you. You've got far more in store than just blessing me and giving me everything that I need in this life. You want me to walk like you. You want me to be like you. That is God's will for us, my brothers and sisters, to bring us to that place that with confidence that I say, God is my helper. I'll not be afraid what man can do to me. And so God leads Jacob on. And we don't have time to look at it. He had a tough father-in-law, just as much a schemer and a deceiver like he was. He got paid back in his coin. He had to work. excuse me. He had to work 14 years for Rachel. He thought he would get her in the first 7 years. But his father was as cunning and as much of a schemer as he was. But that was all God's dealing. That was what God sought to do with him. Excuse me. To break him where he needed to be broken. And We see as we go on in Genesis and chapter 31 when he leaves his father-in-law and goes away. And now this is the situation in chapter 31. He finds himself and says, Jacob heard the words of Laban's son saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what belonged to our father he has made all this wealth. And Jacob saw the attitude of Laban. Behold, it was not friendly toward him as formerly. So here he has an angry father-in-law, and he also has to meet an angry brother. This is all God's dealings, my brothers and sisters. I want you to see that everything that God allows into our lives, all the circumstances and situations, is to bring us to a place that we can, where God, only God, becomes our helper. That we are not afraid what man can do to us. In Genesis in chapter 32, it says that Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And Jacob said when he saw them, "This is God's camp." So he named that place Mahanim. Now when we come into God's camp, God deals with us. Like we see that he dealt with Jacob. Jacob was afraid of his brother Esau. His brother who was angry. And instead of trusting God, there we see again the schemer and the planner. He began to see how he could appease his brother. And that's what happens in our walk through life, in the different circumstances and situations. Instead of trusting God, we make our own plans, we scheme, we think, I know I could handle this. And God lets us go ahead, like he said in Isaiah chapter 30, in repentance and rest, you shall be saved, but you are not willing. He said, we will flee on horses. We don't have time to look at it, Isaiah chapter 30. And God said, yes, fine. But those who pursue will be swifter. Until, we read there, until you're left as a flag on a mountaintop. And then we read these words in Isaiah 30:15. It says there in verse 18, therefore the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore he waits on high to have compassion on you. And that's what God waits for. He longs not to discipline us like some of us think. God is waiting to discipline us. Some think, no, God is punishing me. God doesn't punish us. We are children, we are not punished, we are disciplined. And I thank God for discipline. So many ways he disciplines us so that we can partake of his holiness. It says the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Do you have that picture of God? God is waiting to give you grace. He's waiting to show you mercy. But he has to wait till we read, just like Jacob. Go back to Genesis chapter 32 and verse 24, and we have these words, wonderful words. This is what God waits for. Then Jacob was left alone. Jacob was left alone. And God waits for that, my brothers and sisters. Bring us to a place where we stop scheming, we stop planning, and we are left alone so that he could deal with us. He's in God's camp now, by the way. And it says there, when he was to face this angry brother, he prays again in Genesis chapter 2, 32, verse 10. He says, I am not worthy of all the unfailing love and faithfulness you have shown to me, your servant. When I left home and crossed the Jordan River, I'm reading from the Living Bible, I owned nothing except a walking stick. Now my household fills two large camps. He had become prosperous. And like I said, God has prospered us where we began, when we came into the church, where we are today. And Jacob had prospered. But still, he did not know how to handle a angry brother. He says, oh Lord, please rescue me from the hand of my brother Esau. I'm afraid he's coming to attack me along with my wives and children. And after all his plans and schemes, he planned it so well, took care of Rachel and her family and all that he possessed together with her. You know, kept her last and put Leah and her family and all that he had before. And then he arranged a gift for this angry brother Esau, a large gift. That also he arranged it in such a way, because he's so afraid of what Esau is going to do to him because of what he had done earlier back home. And after all his plans and schemes and all the precautions to protect what God had given him, to appease his brother's anger, we read these words: Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until daybreak. And when he saw that he had not prevailed against him, he touched the socket of his thigh, so the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated while he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." I like this man. In spite of what he was, he still wanted God. He wanted God's blessing. "Not let you go till you bless me." And if we can have that same desire, that same longing, when we come to God, "Lord, I want all of you. I want the Holy Spirit. I'll not let you go till you bless me. I will not let you go till you baptize me in the Holy Spirit. I'm not just going to pray casually. Lord, I need the power of the Holy Spirit. I can't enter into all that you have planned for me without the power of the Holy Spirit. Baptize me. I'll not let you go till you bless me." How many of us have prayed like that, my brothers and sisters? Very, very casual. And when we ask people, "Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit?" "I don't know. I think so. Maybe." "I asked a couple of times, nothing happened." That's the answer we get. I've never, hardly ever met. I know two sisters, not here, back in Tamil Nadu, locked themselves up in a room and said, "Lord, we are not going to leave here today. We are not going to eat. We are not going to leave this room till you bless us, till you give us the Holy Spirit." Wouldn't God meet somebody like that? Surely, by the end of the day, he baptized them in the Holy Spirit and fire. And if we can have that same longing, my brothers and sisters, I tell you, we will not be where we are today. We rarely know God. But unfortunately, God has to take us through this situation where, like Jacob, he has to break us. But before he does that, you know, verse 27, God said to him, "What is your name? What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob. Deceiver, supplanter, schemer." That's how we are to meet God. "Lord, this is how I am. This is me." And you know all the names that you can call yourself. But that's where the Lord meets us. And he said there, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob. You shall no longer be a deceiver, supplanter, and a schemer. Because you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him and said, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob named the place Peniel, for he said, "I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been preserved." Then we read these beautiful words. "Now the sun rose upon him just as he crossed over Peniel." The sun had rose upon Jacob many days before that, many years. But this was different. He was limping on his thigh because God had succeeded in breaking him. That was not all. There was still more to come. And that's the place that God brings you and me to, my brothers and sisters, where he can succeed in breaking us just where we are so strong. It's in our strong point that God breaks us. And God has to bring us to a point where we are left alone. You read, I'd like you to turn to this word in 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse 31. You read of Hezekiah there. You know, Hezekiah was a godly king. God had blessed him. He even heard his prayer and healed him supernaturally. And asked him, God, he asked for 15 years more. God gave him that. But sadly, the wickedest king that ever ruled Israel was born during that time. And it says there in 2 Chronicles, in chapter 30, verse 31, it says, God left him alone to test him, that he might know all that was in his heart. That's why God leaves us alone. God left Hezekiah alone to test him so that he might know all that was in his heart. And that's why God left Jacob alone, that he would come to a place of need, that he could see that all his scheming and planning and all that he sought to do, he was a failure, that he needed God. And so God met him there and said, you'll no longer be the deceiver and supplanter that you were. You will be a prince with God. That is God's calling for you and me. Make us not just princes, to make us kings. We are called to be kings and queens. But God cannot do that if he doesn't succeed in breaking us. And I want to say that don't look for some big calamity. Don't look for something big to happen, that, you know, something big to go wrong, that God can break us. It's the little things. It's the little things of life that break us. You may not recognize that. We must not expect some crisis in our family. The little things that happen every day, like if you fail in something you have an unusual capability for, but just when you think you've done well, when you feel that you've really done well, you see it is not so, and you wonder why. Your sisters who are so good in cooking, some of you excel in cooking. Maybe a certain dish, you can cook a biryani well, you can cook some curry well, and just the time when you have somebody important in your home, it messes up, it gets burned, it gets spoiled, and you can be upset and irritated. Why is this happening? You see that God is seeking to break you. Just in that place where you thought you were so good, so capable. Or some interview your brothers may go for, and you think you're really good, but then afterwards you understand you botched up. And you think, what's happening? I sort of pleased God, I prayed, I asked God, and it didn't go well. God is seeking to break us, my brothers and sisters. God is seeking to break you. Your strong point, where you thought you're so able, so capable, some of us who may have gifts. I've seen that happen many times. In the business that I had, you think I'm so capable to handle it, and then something happens, goes wrong. And think that, God is upset with me. No, he's just bringing me to a place where I'm left alone, where he can break me. It's broken people that God needs. It's broken men, broken women, my brothers and sisters. We can be in God's house. And we can say like David, in Psalm 23, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Is that all? That we dwell in the house of the Lord forever, but God wants to do something through you and me. He wants to bless others like he did through Jacob, but he had to break him. And it's only broken people that God can use. It can be also when you're dealing with a difficult family member like Jacob. To have an angry brother is a difficult thing because you don't know what to do, what to say. But I like what he says there, Genesis chapter 2. This is what happens when a man is broken. And this is after Peniel. After the sun rose that morning, and there's a different man, a different Jacob, the man who limped, the man who was broken. And now, when he meets Esau, he says let me find the verse. Verse 10, thank you. He said, I'm not worthy of all the unfailing love and faithfulness you have shown to me, your servant. I'm reading from the Living. When I left home and crossed the Jordan River, I owned nothing except a walking stick. Now my household has two large camps. In verse 11, that's the verse I was thinking of. Oh Lord, please rescue me from the hand of my brother Esau. I'm afraid that he's coming to attack me along with my wife and children. And he says that I've seen your face as the face of God. That's the verse. He says to, and you have dealt favorably with me. You find it there? Sorry? Yeah, 33, that's it. He says, I've seen your face as a face of God and you have done favorably with me. That's how it is. That now it was not an angry brother. He saw Esau, saw God in Esau's face, and you've accepted me favorably. And the things is, the fears, our worst fears, God turns them into a blessing. God turns them where I can find favor, where I can find grace. And that was what I was trying to say. So we need not be afraid, like we read in Hebrews chapter 13. I will not be afraid what man can do to me. The Lord is my helper. And that's the place that God seeks to bring us to. If we would only yield to Him in the little things where He seeks to break us. And that's a place where we can see God face to face. That we can have an encounter with Him. Not just to be in the church, but to know Him and to walk with Him face to face. And that can only happen when God breaks us, my brothers and sisters. Just like He did with the Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, verse 9, we know that word when Paul prayed three times for that thorn to go from his flesh. God said to him, He said, my grace is sufficient for you. I'm not removing it, Paul. You need it to keep you humble. You need it to keep you broken. My grace is sufficient for you. My power shows up best in weak people. I've seen that so many times. That God's power shows up best, not in my planning and scheming. Not when I think, oh no, I prayed, I fasted and prayed, or I waited upon God. But when I come to that place where I see it's only God, not my tears, not my prayers, not anything, Lord. My power shows up best in weak people, like Living Bible paraphrases that. And like Jesus, we have an example there when He agonized in Gethsemane. Three times He prayed that the cup should pass from Him. And then finally He said, Lord, Father, not my will, Your will be done. A broken man. And all through His life, was a broken man. When He gave Himself for us on the cross, it was a broken man and a broken body. That's our Savior, my brothers and sisters. That's the Jesus we are called to follow. And when God breaks us, we will see His face. We will know Him face to face. Moses was broken 20 years on the desert of Midian, and brought him to a place where he knew God face to face, where God could say of him, you know, that He spoke to him as a friend face to face. But how did that come? Where God broke him. Joseph had to be broken. You see, all the prophets, they had to be broken. And Paul had to be broken. And if God has to build His church, it's with broken men and women. God cannot use unbroken men and women. And lastly, I want you to see that a broken man or a broken woman is a true worshipper. You know, Jacob could testify of God as his life drew near to an end. He blessed his children and grandchildren. You read that in Genesis 47, 48. In 48, 15, Genesis 48, 15, it says, He blessed Joseph and said, the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day. I like that. The God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day. And you read his testimony. You read his testimony to Pharaoh. At one point he said, all these things are against me. And then when he testifies to Pharaoh, God's faithfulness, and he blesses his children, Genesis chapter 49, says all these are the 12 tribes of Israel. By the way, all the children that Jacob had were the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is what their father said to them, Genesis 49 verse 28, when he blessed them. He blessed them, everyone, with a blessing appropriate to him. He blessed each of his children with a blessing appropriate. He didn't bless blindly. That's the man that's broken. And then he says then, Genesis 47, 30 and 31, please do not bury me in Egypt. Carry me out of Egypt. Then he said to Joseph, swear to me. So he swore to him, then Israel, I want you to notice that they, not Jacob anymore, bowed in worship at the head of the bed. And then the Holy Spirit records that in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 21. By faith, it says there, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. What a way to end his life. He became a true worshipper because he was a broken man. And it's only broken men and women who can truly worship God in spirit and in truth. Otherwise, what we call worship is so shallow. A lot of it is just praise and thanksgiving. That's good. But a broken man and a broken woman would know how to worship God in spirit and in truth. And God longs, the Father longs for such to worship Him, my brothers and sisters. Are we willing to be in that number? Is it God's house or God's face? That's what I need to decide this morning. God's house? Get all the blessings, all the benefits of being in God's house? Do I want to see His face? Do I want to fellowship with Him face to face? I don't speak as one who is accomplished, but I can say before God, I'm on my way there. I've discovered it. That it's only as I yield to God and let Him break me in the different situations. Sometimes you can be misunderstood. Sometimes where you seek to do things and bless others, it doesn't go along as you intended to. But that is God's way of dealing with us and breaking us, bringing us to that place where we cling only to Him. Our confidence is in Him. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid what man can do to me. And God wants to make you and I worshippers. In Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 10, from beyond the rivers, it says of Ethiopia, my worshippers, I like that, my worshippers, my dispersed ones will bring my offerings. God wants offerings from His worshippers. In Luke chapter 24, verses 52 and 53, it says, the disciples, after worshipping Him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 9, it says, behold, Jesus met them, and they came up and took hold of His feet and worshipped Him. And the last word, the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, verse 9, when John was so overawed with the angel who spoke to him that he fell at his feet to worship him. The angel said to him, do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who heed the words of this book. Worship God. Worship God. That is what God wants of you and me, my brothers and sisters. He has brought us and put us in His house. We are part of the household of God. This is the gate of heaven. Let's not stay there. Let's not just wait when we are taken up. We feel so sorry but you didn't continue on this journey. If you read the life of Jacob, we can see your life and my life there. we continue on this journey and let God break us through the different circumstances and situations in our lives, the little things, the little annoyances, the little irritations, things that happen in the home. But I see from today onwards that this is God's way of breaking me in a place where I am so strong, so that I can meet a day where the sun rises on me and God, the Holy Spirit, can say, this is a broken man, this is a broken woman. I have a purpose for him. I have a purpose for her in my generation. So will we offer ourselves to God this morning and say, Lord, thank you for all the benefits I've received in the church. Thank you. This is the gate of heaven. I don't want to stop here. I want to know you face to face. I want to have another encounter with you where you can begin breaking me and I can begin knowing you face to face, and then I can truly worship you. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just thank you that you sent your Son into this world, not just to take a whole lot of us to heaven. You have a work for us to do. You have a purpose for us to fulfill in our generation. And if you are to feed the hungry around us, we see there's no other way, Lord Jesus, as you took that bread and broke it and distributed. And there's so much left over, we pray. You will find among us, Lord, those who would yield to you. That we will let you break us in the place where we need to be broken. We know we all need that work of your Holy Spirit in us, and we want to yield ourselves, Lord, so that we can know you face to face, so that we can become true worshippers. Lord Jesus, you know the time is drawing to an end. You're looking for broken men and women. I pray that you will find some among us. I pray that you'll find me who would yield to you, Lord, so that you can finish the work that you had started on this earth. Speak to our hearts. Help us to give ourselves to you. We need the power of your Holy Spirit. We cannot in our own strength, and we dare not choose the places where we think you need to break us. That is your choosing. But help us just to yield. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's good for us to remind ourselves of what we heard this morning. What kind of a church God's expecting from us? This is Bethel, the house of God. The house of God where you get revelation of God. And I believe, brothers and sisters, we need a continual revelation of God that will change your life, that give us faith and hope and courage. And I hope you heard God speaking to you this morning. Genesis 28:15, I am with you. And I believe the first thing the Lord wants to encourage us, saying, I'll be with you, I'll keep you, I'll watch over you. And not only that, the Lord wants to lay hold of us. That's something wonderful. I will not leave you until I've done that which I've spoken to you of. I've met many people who come to the church. They're enthusiastic. They get saved. They get baptized. And they get blessed. But they don't go on with the Lord. And they just become average and mediocre. And somehow they want to make it to heaven. But how many of us are going to respond to God this morning and say, Lord, here am I. Take hold of me. And fulfill all that you have planned for me. I hope you have some brothers and sisters like that this morning. You can say that you're not just content to have your name in the membership list. You're not just content to break bread. Say, Lord, fulfill all that you have promised in your word. And if you say that, the Lord will fulfill that. The Lord will work in you, deal with you, change you, take you through many, many circumstances. And all I pray this morning that all of us would respond to God and say, Lord, I'm not happy with all the material blessings you give me. I'm not happy with so many wonderful blessings you've given me. But Lord, why you call me Lord? Why you put me in this church? Fulfill all your plan and purpose. And you know, brothers and sisters, I tell you, if you have such an attitude, it makes such a difference to come to a meeting like that. Lord, I want you to fulfill all your plan in my life. And I'm here to yield myself. And that's the God's house. Brothers and sisters who yield themselves unconditionally to God. We also heard this morning about Peniel. You have another encounter with God. Brothers and sisters, we need many people who have an encounter with God, who can say, Lord, I want to lay hold of you. I will not leave you until you bless me. Not just physically, not just materially, not just family blessings, not just a good house. Say, Lord, I want to be a broken man. I want power with you, Lord. Power with God and power with men. Will you let the Lord break you, brothers and sisters? I know not many are happy to continue on like that. I've seen there are different kinds of believers, even the church. Some are happy with, Lord, I'm going to, okay, leave me alone. Some will say, Lord, I want all your will. David was like that. He wanted to fulfill all of God's will. And oh, may God find amongst us brothers and sisters who will yield themselves unconditionally, totally, daily, day after day after day. Lord, have your way with me, Lord. Till the Lord completely changes our name, our nature, and makes us broken, and till this power, till we become worshippers, till we go on to the Lord. What a fantastic church that is. Brothers and sisters who have continued encounter with the Lord, brothers and sisters who are broken, brothers who become worshippers. I want to say, brothers and sisters, where are you this morning? Are you in the, you know, like in education, you can get a middle school education, or high school education, college education, or you can get postgraduate education. You can go on. Some people are saying, I'm happy, brother, with fourth standard. We say, you become literate. Well, I'm happy, I know the reason, right? Some people say, no, I want to go on. I want to challenge you, friends, this morning. What is your level? Are you going to say, Lord, I want you to fulfill every word in my life. I'm not satisfied with the material blessings. Can you say that to the Lord this morning? And can you say, Lord, I want to go on with you. I want to be a broken man. I'm not going to stop till you make me a broken person. And I believe broken persons are those whom God blesses mightily. The church needs such broken people, and the church needs worshippers who can say, the Lord has changed my life, changed my name, changed my nature, and He's continuing to change me. And I am becoming more and more a worshipper of God. What a fantastic church, brothers. I hope we'll bring joy to God's heart and say, Lord, I don't want to live a low-level Christian life. I want to be one who's moving on with you. Jacob's end became more glorious than his beginning. Maybe you had a bad beginning. I want to say this morning, God can give you a glorious future. Can I hear amen for that? Yes. Yeah, God can make you a broken person. And so that you can say to everyone, it's not me, it's God who's done a fantastic work in me. So that you can say, He's continuing to work in me. And oh, maybe respond to God's word, God's Holy Spirit, God's working with us. And all the circumstances and situations that God seeks to break us. And then no day will be boring for us, brothers and sisters. And then we come together. Every time we come together, I believe we can bring such a tremendous spirit to the church. A spirit of brokenness, a spirit of worship. And I tell you, the people who come here, they'll say, here's the presence of God. That they can hear a word of prophecy, a prophetic word. And, oh, you know what, this morning, all of us can make the church glorious. If you will respond to God and to the Holy Spirit, and God can not only make you glorious, God can make the church glorious, so that every time there will be such a powerful spirit of revelation, worship, and prophecy, God speaking to us, and we prophesying. And I want to say this morning, there's a wonderful future ahead of us. Let's trust the Lord, let's yield to the Lord, and I believe God's got a wonderful future. I want to close with a song.